Father, I bow now to your plan for this morning, believing that your Holy Spirit will bring forth what you want. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to take you to 1 Corinthians. And the wisdom and the power of God versus the natural mind and how we kind of put up with this box that we have on top of his shoulders. It's wonderful for holding hats and other things, but usually we let it control too much. Okay? I want to give you verse 18.
What chapter?
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Well, maybe we could go 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom. Human wisdom has a great gift in the earth. For the past couple of hundred years, it has blossomed. Human wisdom is loved, adored, worshipped. You name it, human knowledge, and people actually worship degrees. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. And the Lord many years ago had a real pressure upon me because I really believed that he wanted me to go back to school at a university. And he gave me quite a word. He told me that if I was looking for degrees, I might buy a thermometer, it'd be cheaper. Well,
absolutely.
Okay. So verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved," notice it's being saved. It's a consistent salvation. What you received is a beginning. When you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you got another shot in the arm, if you wish. Okay? But he said, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Now, some, like I, have learned that it's wonderful to have an education. There's absolutely nothing wrong with getting an education. But if you begin to worship your education, what have you got? You've got an idol. And God will begin to frustrate that. He said it in his word. And see, if Paul had not written this letter, we would look at this word from a completely different standpoint. We'd say, my God, he's judgmental. But Paul was one of the most highly educated men of his day. So do you think he's experienced some of this frustration at some point? And I could take you to the book of Acts where he gets thrown off his horse and the Lord says to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" Do you think that was part of his wisdom and his knowledge and his degrees and all the things he knew about his religion and about his God, that he was being frustrated? I mean, he was as blind as a bat and he had to wait for somebody to come and lay hands on him so that he could see again. And the scales fell off. It says the word scales because I think sometimes we think we have such wonderful gifts in the knowledge that we have learned, and we trust it so much, and God says, you haven't got a clue. Pete, what was that word you got?
Ask. I don't have it in memory. It was 33:3, Jeremiah, ask.
Call on me. I will give you unsearchable things. Great and unsearchable things. Why? Because if you were smart enough to get yourself out of the frustration by this natural mind that you have, God would not have bothered to send his spirit. Why should he say, save you and leave you the way you were? He sent his spirit so that you and I could have the mind of Christ. Amen? If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, this is what we speak, not in the words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. But we, meaning we have an ability in our spirit to overrule the brain. You say, well, wait a minute. What do you think he gave me this brain for? To frustrate. He gave it to you to frustrate you. I want to take you a little deeper. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. You say, what do you mean? God is not stupid. Anyone who thinks it is worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God will be given grace. But if they don't think it's worthwhile to know God, he will give them over to a depraved mind. God will do this. I have a person that I've known for 50 years. Today, I can tell you that in the past 50 years, this person brought 4 children into the world, was very well educated, and was married to one of my brothers, who's passed away, and then decided to shack up with another man, who happens to be a college professor, and was very proud to introduce her new man to me on many occasions. And I've just learned that she doesn't even recognize her own children. And she's my age. And when it was time to talk to her about God, she had no time. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Now you're going to go a little deeper. Romans 8, 7. Am I judging this person? Absolutely not. Romans 8, 7. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. So what you've got on top here is an obstacle to be overcome. Look at me. This thing right here that I'm telling you is an obstacle gets me in trouble. I should have heard a couple of amens. Okay, because this natural mind will put you to death. You can feed it. You can educate it. You can do all kinds of things. But it will definitely be overruled by God when you think you're so smart. And that's scary. Give you a couple more. Ephesians 4:17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. And it's also confirmed in Colossians 1:21. Colossians 2:18 says, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and worship of angels disqualify you from the prize. For such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. Titus 1:15, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. Now, you know, you say, well, this is wonderful to know, but how and what do I do to overcome what I've got up here on my shoulders? Well, there's answers and solutions. Romans 8, verse 6. The mind of sinful man is death. That's scary. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind controlled by the Spirit is what? Yeah, life and peace. So you've got to have the solution. I could give you all these accusations about the cotton-picking brain I've got. But I've also got the Holy Ghost in me. And His Spirit has impregnated my spirit with His presence. And now I have a gift with this brain. It is controlled by the Spirit of life. And it will rule with peace. You say, well, that's kind of neat. Go a little deeper. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, but he may instruct him. I gave it to you earlier. But we have the mind of Christ. How do we have it? By faith. When you and I declare, wait a minute, I've got all these thoughts going on, but God, what about you? What do you have to say about the subject? How should I continue this course that I'm on? And begin to intercede for yourself in the Spirit. You see, how do you do that? Open your mind and open your heart. Open your mind to get revealed knowledge from Him. Life and peace will enter in, and the frustration will go out the back door. Philippians 2:5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Whoa. You mean I got to be like him? Yes. And you will be like him. Many, many times I've seen people who will have a word from the Lord and then try to make it fit their brain. And it's reversed. It should be the other way around. There are times that the Lord has given me a word and I couldn't figure it out, and I would say, God, I'm not doing anything until I get more. Until there's a confirming word to know the mind of Christ is being formed in me, sometimes it comes by little tiny pieces. It doesn't come all at once. You know why? Because then by the same token, I think I'm pretty smart. And then I probably fall flat on my face again. Okay? And have to ask God to forgive me, because pride comes before a... Okay. I want to take you to Romans 12:3. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself as with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given to you. Last but not least, Philippians 4:8. Brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now you know what to put in the brain. All the wonderful things that God has done for you. As you rehearse those things, guess what's going to happen to your emotions? They're going to flip over. Just like a pancake. You do it on one side, you don't leave all that gooey stuff without being cooked before you turn it over. You flip it over. So, be at peace. And if you're not at peace, run to Him. Run to Him to get His opinion of what's going on. I had someone yesterday getting all kinds of anxiety. And I said, oh God, what do I say, Lord? What do I say? And everything that was coming into my brain was going to create a new problem. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many have created a new problem by acting out too quickly and didn't get God's opinion? Okay? Get God's opinion. Get alone somewhere. Run to the bathroom. Do something. Get away from whatever is happening and get yourself back into the realm of the Spirit. You say, well, how do you do that? Walk away. Take a break. Run to Jesus somehow, some way. I had a lady that used to work in an office that was very busy. And the only place she said she could go was to the ladies' room to get recaptured by the Lord. Because the power of all the things around her would get so overwhelming. And she'd say, what do I do? What do I do? Well, go to the ladies' room if you have to. Close the door. Begin to intercede. Sometimes you can intercede on the interior in the midst of a busy room. Or a busy office, or a busy schoolroom. It doesn't matter where you are. Your spirit is available to you anywhere, anytime. And you have the switch. On or off. It's up to you. Now close your eyes. Say, Father, I'm expecting grace today. Because I really need the mind of Christ. Instead of thinking about the ugly things that have hurt me, destroyed me, discouraged me, I will think on the good things. And I'm asking you now for the grace to carry it out so that I will not be stuck in deception. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You know, when he began to push my buttons yesterday about this word, I kept saying, but God, we've taught on this before. We've taught on this before. And he says, well, how many times do you need to hear something before you actually activate it?
You just said you wait for
And be patient with yourself. Please. Be patient with yourself. Because you may not do it right. First, second, third, 50th, 100, 2,000. Doesn't matter the number. As long as you go a little bit at a time. Share some love with each other.